Heavy rain can overwhelm old sewer systems in cities, sending millions of gallons of untreated sewage and rainwater into rivers. Places like Harrisburg, Pittsburgh, and other places in Pennsylvania are rolling out nature-based solutions known as green infrastructure. They say it's a sustainable and cost-effective way to help tackle the problem. But State Impact Pennsylvania's Madison Goldberg reports these projects can hold both promise and risk for some neighborhoods.
This is a rain garden. Well, hold on. Let's see if we can get in.
This is Rafika Muhammad. She's opening the gate to a garden nestled among houses in a Harrisburg neighborhood about a mile east of the state capital.
This rain garden is dedicated to David Wythe. And he did a lot of work here in the Summit Terrace area.
We walk through the grass, past waist-high flowering plants, and Muhammad talks about the work she does.
I'm born and raised in Harrisburg. I have my own business called Sustainable Human Environment, and I call it SHE for short.
She's also on environmental advisory boards with the city and state, and she's a community ambassador with Harrisburg's water utility. Muhammad partnered with Capital Region Water to put in this rain garden a few years ago.
I see a lot of coneflower, a lot of herbs, a lot of black-eyed Susies in here. You have some, it looks like there's some ornamental grass. We definitely don't want these in here. These are weeds.
She pulled some of them out.
I do this anyway, wherever I go. My late husband used to be like, you're always in somebody else's soil. But, you know, it's just a habit.
This garden plays a special role here.
We need the rain, but of course as the rain hits our streets and our pavements and all, it turns into something totally different, which becomes, I'm gonna use the word toxic. That's
why in areas with a lot of pavement, rainwater often streams directly into storm drains. Rain gardens like this one aim to change that.
Trees definitely hold a lot of water, certain vegetation holds water. So something is holding it and then slowly dispersing it out little by little instead of all at one time.
Here's why that's important. Harrisburg, like a lot of cities in the Northeast, relies mostly on what's known as a combined sewer system. Wastewater, from taking a shower, flushing the toilet, or running the dishwasher, goes into the same pipes as stormwater does. The sewer system is supposed to carry all that water to a wastewater treatment plant, which cleans it up and releases it into the Susquehanna River.
This brick building here is the first entry point for the water that comes into the plant.
That's Jess Rosenthal, Director of Wastewater Operations at Capital Region Water.
But our flow can go from 15 million gallons per day to a rate of 80 million gallons per day in a matter of 45 minutes.
During big storms, the sewer can overflow and send the water in the pipes, stormwater mixed with sewage, directly into the Susquehanna and Paxton Creek. That can put bacteria and other pollutants into the waterways. And with climate change already contributing to more extreme storms, the problem is likely to get worse. There's pretty widespread agreement that replacing an entire combined sewer system all at once would be too costly and disruptive, so cities are looking for other solutions. Over in Lancaster, where the combined sewer system overflows into the Conestoga River, the city government is planting rain gardens as part of a street improvement project. Stephen Campbell is Lancaster's Director of Public Works.
It's trying to go back to the more natural way that nature intended, if you will. The surface soils, etc., will take care of the water rather than having what we call gray infrastructure.
That's the traditional way of managing stormwater. Drains, pipes, and large tanks. Rain gardens are known as green infrastructure. But there are lots of other types, including pavement that water can seep through and roofs covered with plants.
It includes the urban tree canopy. The trees themselves are huge sponges.
Both Harrisburg and Lancaster are required by federal and state agencies to create plans to address their combined sewer overflow problems. Those plans are still under review, so the people working on them say the roles that green and gray infrastructure will ultimately play are uncertain. But they say green infrastructure costs less and does other good things like improve air quality and access to green space.
It's not just solving for stormwater itself. It's an opportunity for us to do an upgrade to a street that may have been neglected for a little while.
Dr. Fuchsia Hoover of the University of North Carolina, Charlotte, studies the ways green infrastructure impacts communities, and she says the benefits are real. But she warns those projects could also present risks for low-income neighborhoods and communities of color. To understand why, she says we need to think about housing policy.
You know, I think unfortunately, a lot of times there isn't that clear connection.
She says that connection is rooted in the country's long history of racist zoning policies and government-sanctioned redlining. Practices like these have lowered property values, specifically in areas where people of color live. Research suggests that could make these neighborhoods vulnerable to what's known as green gentrification. It's a complex process, but here's one way it could happen. Green infrastructure is put in during redevelopment projects, housing prices go up, and some residents find themselves unable to afford rent anymore.
Then we're just replicating the same process of unequal investment in our communities of color.
Hoover says green infrastructure can actually help address some of the disparities racist housing policies helped create, like fewer trees and worse heat waves. But she believes they should come alongside measures like rent control that aim to prevent gentrification. Dr. Marcus Hendricks, who directs the Stormwater Infrastructure Resiliency and Justice Lab at the University of Maryland, says cities also shouldn't rule out large storage tanks and other gray infrastructure upgrades.
We should sort of tap into that potential for green infrastructure, but we shouldn't be as polarized and thinking that it's the absolute way forward.
Both researchers say there's no one-size-fits-all solution. And Hendricks cautions against planners deciding for communities what the infrastructure problems are.
As if they didn't know these issues existed that they live through every single day, right? I always just advocate for more grassroots, bottom-up approaches that include as many people as possible.
In Summit Terrace, the community held meetings with planners before the rain garden was put in. That kind of joint effort could help make green infrastructure projects more equitable. But Mohammed says there's a lot more work to do.
In order to make change, we have to really understand and confront what we've been dealing with for hundreds of years.
The way this rain garden came about, she says, is something to build on. Madison Goldberg, State Impact, Pennsylvania.